This is NWP Radio, a production of the National Writing Project. Today is April 28th, and tonight we will be talking about two online learning experiences that NWP offered this spring as part of the College Ready Writers Program. I'm your host, Rachel Baer, with NWP, coming to you from Boise, Idaho. Just to give you a heads up, we will reference several websites tonight, and the links to those will be included as resources on the archive page for this show. Tonight, we are pleased to have several guests to talk with us about their experience participating in the CRWP lesson studies. We are welcoming Linda Denstadt, who is the co-director of the Oakland Writing Project and a member of the CRWP leadership team. Also, Nikki Holland, who is the director of the Northwest Arkansas Writing Project College Ready Writers Program. Amber Tietrich, who is a ninth grade teacher at Hillside Junior High in Boise, Idaho. And Laureen McDaniel, a sixth grade English language arts and social studies teacher at Geneva County Middle School in Hartford, Alabama. Thank you all for joining us tonight.
You're welcome.
So I just wanted to begin tonight's radio show by sort of introducing where this idea of this online learning experience lesson study came from. So the structure of the lesson study, this idea of doing a lesson study, originally came from Japan. And it's meant to be a collective study of practice that results in refining instruction. So it begins with teachers working together to create a lesson and starting with a hypothesis. Something like, if we teach the lesson this way, we think students will learn blank better. And then one or more of the teachers teaches the lesson to students and the others observe, and they come back together to reflect and talk about what they saw. And that reflection really focuses on the students. They might ask themselves questions like, how did the students react to the lesson? What did they understand? What did they misunderstand? And what might this mean for our next steps in instruction? So our idea was to bring together a couple of the College Ready Writers program mini units and to invite teachers to collectively teach those mini units and to pay careful attention to how it went with their students and what they were doing and writing. We then invited teachers to come together in an online space to talk to each other and to think about refining their practice of teaching argument writing. Our version of the lesson study was more informal and casual than the real thing, and we structured it in an online format to connect teachers across the state. The goal was really to create a learning community around the teaching of argument writing, to capture the that already exists, to extend that expertise, and to support teachers who are new to teaching argument writing. The first guest we're going to talk to tonight is Linda Denstadt, who, as I mentioned earlier, is a member of the College Ready Writers Program leadership team, and she's also the author of one of the two mini units that we used in the lesson study. So, Linda, welcome. To begin, will you talk just a little bit about what the CRWP lesson study looked like? How was it structured and organized? Who participated? And what was sort of that format and nature of the participation across these teachers who were involved?
Sure, Rachel. The lesson study and the online community itself really invites teachers to instruct, like as you said before, a mini unit, but also, and really importantly, is to join a conversation about their classroom work, their student work in and on the Google community. So the community offered participants easy access to the work of colleagues across the country, and that's the amazing thing. And it gave them a set of categories for posting and response. So being new to a Google community myself, actually I found navigating the categories most helpful, starting with introductions and getting started, in which teachers posted a picture of their classrooms and shared a bit of information about themselves. It was really neat to actually see into the classrooms and the places that people lived and worked. So I had an immediate connection to teachers who could take this trying it on sort of journey together. And then there were other categories that called participants to general discussion, like how is it going, or observations and thoughts on key lessons, like in my community, the jigsaw research, or studying op-eds, or planning a draft. So So we also offered and recorded two synchronous sessions where participating teachers joined a Google Hangout or conference call to discuss how things were going while teaching the mini units. So besides the online space, they could talk to each other or write in response on the community during those sessions and those conference calls. So during the lesson studies two-week window, I loved getting emails notifying me that participants like Amber in Idaho or Nikki in Arkansas had posted pictures, student work, reflections, questions, or even requests. But I really loved seeing that members of the community had responded, sometimes before I even got to the community to take a look. And they were describing their own experience or offering an idea or resource. So across those weeks, the lesson study community became a great place to learn and reflect together.
Great. Thank you, Linda. Yeah, I agree that there was this really amazing connection across teachers and states for people who were sort of grappling with the same kinds of questions together, and that they bring up questions or requests for a resource or feedback on how something went. And it was awesome to see people jump in, and because they had this shared purpose and shared goal. And I want to make sure to mention again that we actually are linking to these two Google communities so that people can see, you know, sort of what the format and what the whole structure actually looks like. So I mentioned earlier, Linda, that you were the author of one of the mini units that teachers studied in the lesson study. Will you give us an overview of what that mini unit is about, just to give people sort of an idea of, you know, what this looked like as far as focus and time and lessons and what kind of things were happening in the classrooms for your particular mini unit?
Sure. So the unit that I wrote and that people actually engaged with was making a case in the op-ed. And this is a mini unit that actually comes later in the year. In fact, most people they taught several mini units before they actually took on this mini unit. The unit itself invites students to become informed on the multiple views of an issue and join the conversation by writing an op-ed. And I think that's the important piece, is that we're asking students to see themselves as having a voice in an ongoing national conversation that's occurring in the news and in my state in Michigan, there actually are driverless cars, which is the topic, on the roads that I drive on. So this is a current issue. Ideally, students then might submit their writing to an audience beyond the classroom. The lessons in the mini unit support students as they develop foundational skills to take a closer look at the elements argument writers use to actually develop claims, countering positions, and commentary, as well as to identify related or paired evidence sets that support the student's claim. And, of course, eventually these students use this learning to make decisions and design a purposeful draft. In addition, the mini unit supports students as they study how op-ed writers use solid evidence from multiple views to make, adjust, and arrive at informed claims. They do this by tracing the ways these writers structure their arguments and use evidence and commentary to make a case.
Thank you so much for that explanation. It's really helpful to hear really that, like, the overview of the unit, but also the specific argument skills that students are learning and you know, what the particular unit focuses on, and then also that piece of authentic publishing beyond the classroom to a larger audience. I'll just briefly mention that this second mini unit that we did, and I don't think I mentioned this earlier, that we did these simultaneously, so they were being held at the same time so that teachers could select the lesson study and the mini unit that was right for their students at that time. So like Linda said, making the case in an op-ed, you know, works better for later in the year, but there could be people who were entering who had not taught a mini unit yet who could select the other mini unit, which was on ranking evidence. And it's about having students think really critically about the quality and relevance of evidence that they use in their arguments and then selecting evidence for a very clear purpose. So those were the two mini units that we studied around. So now what I want to do is transition and talk next with Amber and Laureen, who are classroom teachers, and each of them participated in a different lesson study. So we're going to start by talking with Amber. Amber is a teacher who participated in the Making the Case in an Op-Ed lesson study. So Amber, you know, take just a few minutes, if you will, and talk about what this was like for your students in the classroom. So how did they respond to it? What worked for them? Were there things that they grappled with? Just really, you know, giving us a picture of what this looks like in your classroom with your students.
Sure. Thanks, Rachel. The mini unit was great because it was just that. It was mini. My students didn't feel like they were intimidated by the length of the piece that they were going to produce. Every time my students are asked to come up with a piece of writing, their first question is, how long does it have to be? And for this particular one, as they looked at other op-ed pieces, they were able to see that it wasn't a lengthy piece at all. I was also surprised to notice that my students weren't very familiar with an op-ed. They don't read them as much. I mean, I think with the lack of newspapers and things like that, they just don't come across op-eds as much as we do as adults. So once they figured out what it was like, that it was kind of this smaller piece of argumentative writing, they bought in really quickly, and they also really liked the topic, which was about driverless cars. My students, I have ninth grade, so they're 14 and 15. A lot of them are in driver's ed right now, and they thought it was really relevant. They also liked the aspect of sort of the green movement that they were, when they researched and read some of the readings, they talked about not using as many, you know, fossil fuels, and just kind of the green movement behind it was definitely an appealing aspect of that. There were several readings that were presented along with some videos, and the students did great with that. They felt like they had a bunch of choice. The videos and the articles that are included in this unit vary in length and text complexity. And so, again, that other further emphasized that they could be successful. They had a lot of choice. They could kind of they could read something at their ability level and then share their evidence with a bunch of, with different students. You know, we talked in some of the articles, are more biased than others, and some of them are a couple years old. And it was really interesting to see my students glom on to some of these parts of the articles. Before, we hadn't talked a lot about bias. They knew what it was, but they really started to dig a little further into some of the organizations and the authors that were producing these pieces of text, and they also zeroed right in on the date. Because it's such a contemporary technology, if something was written more than a year ago, they, you know, had a million different questions and wanted to know, is this still true? So that was interesting. The piece that that Linda provided for us, that we looked at different op-eds, is the New York Times Room for Debate site. And the students quickly realized that being concise was definitely key, and the articles weren't that long. I was pretty strict about the length of their op-ed piece, and I think if I had to do something different for next time, I would be more flexible. They struggled with being concise, even though I tried to tell them that was sort of one of the objectives of this particular right, I think I might have restricted them a little too much. But overall, the project was really great, and I would definitely do it again. In fact, I plan to include this unit as part of my curriculum for next year.
That's great, and there's a few different things. I mean, you said a lot of really awesome things about how your students responded, but one thing that's really cool is that they're really like entering into this argumentative skill of recognizing there's different perspectives, and also recognizing that sources can have limitations, and that they as readers can question, you know, they can question sources and they can question different perspectives, and they can think about where a source comes from and how it's going to best support their argument. And then the other thing is that it's very clear. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to mention that's so true. And in fact, I had several students ask if we were going to have a Socratic seminar on this particular topic, because they wanted to talk to each other more and kind of battle it out a little bit, or at least discuss it further. Who was kind of right? Was this a positive thing for our country? Is this a good direction to go in driverless cars or not? And I didn't have time to host a Socratic seminar to have that discussion, but I think I may include that in the future because they wanted to talk about those things that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Which is great because that means they're actually like authentically engaging into the conversation and seeing themselves as part of that conversation. And then also this, you know, the way that they were critically looking at the mentor text from the New York Times Room for Debate, they then are seen to be like looking at themselves as authors who are like these other authors who can create a similar thing, and they're really thinking about the structure and the length and other elements of that. So that's
well,
great.
And I will say that they felt very empowered. They definitely felt like they had something to say, and, you know, again, in the future, I would probably try to get a wider audience. That was definitely a suggestion from Linda as we had started this project. But at the time, I was too kind of harried and busy to try to figure out how to offer them an outside audience. But that probably would have, I mean, they would have gotten a big kick out of that. So, again, maybe next time I can work on some of these other things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, thank you so much for that overview. It's really helpful to hear how it actually goes and what it looks like in the classroom. So now we're going to shift, and I want to hear a little bit from you, Laureen, because you participated in the other lesson study on ranking evidence, and you also are a sixth grade teacher. So Amber taught, right, you know, did hers for ninth grade, and you taught in sixth grade. And so will you take just a few minutes and tell us about how it went with your students and how they responded and things that they might have grappled with?
Yes, Rachel. The mini units, what I first noticed is that with the ranking evidence, it was really outlined so that it was student and teacher friendly. The only challenge that I first saw at the beginning when I first threw it out there at my kids was the terminology. They were not familiar with some of the terms as they related to actually writing. They knew about the terms as far as like real world experiences, but they didn't know how to tie it in to understand it in the perspective of writing. And for this, I created a glossary of terms for them to use, such as evidence and claim and counterclaim and even text set, you know, just identifying what it was for them. And once they understood exactly the terms of the process that we were about to take, and let me just say, we kind of dropped the ball, but we're picking it back up this month to kind of finish out the ranking evidence unit to kind of tie it all together. So we're still working on this mini unit as we speak right now. So once they understood the term, they were more eager to get in there and step out into the water, so to speak, and let's try this. So therefore, this was like an introductory course for the sixth graders into the world, you know, into the world of writing a little bit more in depth, because they were so used to doing persuasive writing versus argumentative writing. And so I was just trying to flip the page. Let's go from persuasive to argumentative, because I knew this is what they were going to engage in once they got into seventh grade next year. Our topic that we focused on, dealing with cafeteria food, which is something that they could really relate to. And so they really had a lot to say. The text sets that we used were easy read for all the students, and the students really enjoyed the jigsaw activity as well, because it gave them an opportunity to work as a group in the process of doing the jigsaw portion. And so therefore, you know, like I said, the final product was great at the point to where we stopped at. And I think they would be very proud of the finished product when we finish putting all the pieces together here in the next couple of weeks. Yes. And I spoke with one of my colleagues today that did some of the other mini units, and I spoke with them. And one of the things that we have decided to do next year was to let me offer argumentative writing as an introductory course for the sixth grade, so that when they get to seventh grade, everybody is pretty much on the same page as they go through the writing project and finish teaching out several mini units. We've decided to outline a mini unit per grade level versus trying to put them all into one school year. and every teacher do that.
So that's great. I hear a lot of, you know, a lot of really great things there, but also it's awesome to hear how your sixth graders responded to this and to what you say with argumentative writing, that it's really very, like, complex and takes a lot of considering multiple perspectives and then constructing an argument that is evidence-based. And so it's great to hear that also that the tech set works with those students, and also that you're thinking forward about how you can collaborate across grade levels for this argumentative writing, because really, you know, in working with colleagues, because like you have recognized, the sixth grade is builds the foundation as they move to seventh grade and then up through eventually to being college ready, which is really the focus and hope of all of this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it.
Good.
Thank you.
Great. Uh-huh, that was really helpful. Okay, so the next thing I want to talk about is, Linda mentioned it, and I mentioned it a couple of times, but I want to hear from about what it was like to participate in the Google community. So we had separate Google communities set up for each lesson study, and it was set up as a place where, like Linda described, for people to collaborate and share resources. And so I'm actually going to ask, I want to hear from Nikki Holland first, and have her tell us about how the Google community worked for her. So Nikki, in your context and the work you were doing with the mini units with teachers in your place, what was the Google community, what was the role of the Google community, and how did it support you in working with teachers?
Sure. Thanks so much for having us to talk about this this evening, Rachel. You know, the Google community, this was actually, like Linda, this was my first foray into the Google community also, so I was a little intimidated by the technology learning curve, but actually it was quite simple and user-friendly, even, you know, to add pictures and other media. So in terms of learning curve, it really was simple to use. And I'd say really it's the community building aspect of it that that just was so important for us. You know, a couple of people have mentioned moving the unit across grade levels. And I think that's one of the things that can be tricky and also time-consuming. So we were doing the same thing. So Linda's unit was really kind of like, I don't know, maybe high school, like lower high school unit when we first got our hands on it. And so those of us who were working in middle school contexts had to figure out how to adapt that to work for our communities. And it was wonderful just to be able to get on the site and hear what other people were doing, or to see, you know, I made this graphic organizer, or I found this article on Newsela that works for my kids. So just the ability to do that work together made it seem a lot more manageable. And so I think just in general that building and sharing of resources. So Linda also mentioned, you know, it was nice. It wasn't just the conversation was not just administrator to teacher and back and forth like that. There was really a community aspect where we all kind of felt like we were working together and helping each other, and just the dynamic I think was really positive, and just felt like, okay, we're doing this big project together, but it feels personal and powerful and not overwhelming. And that's an important part of being a teacher these days. It's nice to have those things.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you appreciated the across different grade levels part of it, because, you know, we think about connecting people across the country, but also connecting people who are teaching in the same grade level and thinking about the supports that will be needed for a particular group of students. And so that reminder is really helpful, and then the way that people can, you know, can think about what it takes to make that, to provide those supports and to teach the same skills, but do it in a way that works for a particular context.
Right, and that's so important for those of us who are working in small districts also, because many of our teachers are the only teacher in that grade level. They may be the only middle school teacher in the whole district. So to find a colleague who is also a middle school teacher teaching the same unit that you're working on is really quite a gift and unusual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. So actually, Laureen, I'm wondering if you will talk next about your experience in the Google community and even what it was like to connect with teachers who also taught sixth grade in this way. So what was that, you know, how did that work for you?
It was awesome. just like she just mentioned, I was the only sixth grade teacher. I am the only sixth grade teacher at my school that does the English language arts, so it's just kind of me out there by myself. But it was very good for me able to connect with other middle school teachers to see what they were doing in the ranking evidence community. And it was just like having a wealth of supportive colleagues from all walks of education that gave you that immediate feedback and response to what it was that you were doing in your classroom, and you were able to respond to what they were doing in their classroom. And it was kind of like, oh, I'm going to use that. I'm going to use this. It was kind of like all of this information was coming in and the anchor charts, and we were all taking and pulling and sharing with each other. And next year I plan, once again, I'm already thinking forward because I plan to get the ELA teachers 6th through 12th grade just at my school and in our district, you know, into a community where we can collaborate together even though we're not on the same campus or near each other for the most part. But it was a great experience.
That's really cool. I know that you're thinking about even how there's this potential to connect large groups of teachers in these digital spaces, but also how you can connect people who are even geographically closer to you, but they don't have immediate and daily access to, and so that they have this space where they could share and work together as a collaborative space. So thank you for that. So Amber, what about you? Will you talk about your experience in the working in the Google community?
Sure. This was my first time working on Google Plus. I have heard of it, like looked at it, but I'd never actually worked in it before. And I was too, like Nikki said, a little bit intimidated and not really sure how is this going to work. I need to post a picture. But I just to tell you, it ended up to be one of my favorite things about the whole project because, just like Nikki said earlier, the community building part was just the best. I mean, I would post all kinds of other questions or ideas, and the responses were varied and very quick. I remember talking to Nikki for a couple days, just on and off, back and forth, and, you know, I'd never even met Nikki, but she was such a help to me. It was just a great forum for collaborating with lots of different people from all over the country. And, you know, as a teacher, I think one of the hardest things is that you work in isolation a lot of the time, whether you're in a big school district or a small school district. And, you know, my school district is really big, but I am one of the only ninth grade teachers in my building. I have, you know, someone else teaches two classes. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard to collaborate with other people. And this way of using Google Plus was not hard. It was easy and it was fun, and it really reinforced the idea to me that there are so many teachers all over the country who really care about, you know, our students' investment in their work and their success. And sometimes I have a really narrow view of, you know, here's my students in my classroom, and this was such a great way to really open up my perspective. It was awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate hearing all three of your different perspectives on what working together in this online space is like, especially since right now there is a lot of talk about, you know, digital learning and online learning experiences and online learning spaces. And so so this is cool to hear that this is one example of one place where we can really leverage those collaborative digital tools that exist and use them to connect teachers in meaningful ways. And so, you know, this one worked a great platform for what we were doing, and there are also other potential ways that we can connect, but I think it's thinking about how to really leverage these tools and these spaces that exist to connect people who may, as you all pointed out, who may feel isolated because of, you know, where they are in other elements of their context. So now I'd actually want to go back to Linda. And Linda, I want to think, I would love to hear you talk about like your role coaching and supporting teachers. And I know you've done a lot of work supporting teachers in teaching these argumentative CRWP mini units in your local context and on a national level and also in these digital spaces. And so will you, you know, just talk to us a little bit about your experience coaching and supporting teachers and the way that these mini units have worked in that work that you're doing. And Linda, if you're talking, you're muted.
Yes, I am muted. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. Well,
for me, actually, coaching actually in multiple contexts, and even coaching on the Google community, really was the best way I like to coach and support teachers, which is in the midst. In the midst of learning that begins the moment that we all agree to do, make, or listen, share, and reflect on whatever good, bad, or ugly actually happens in the classroom, that we're taking a very close look at student work and what emerges as students are learning side by side, often with teachers. And so this approach really supports teachers to take risks in their own classrooms, because there are other people who are in the same company. They're taking risks and doing the same work alongside them. So I love that kind of work. And so recently, as a matter of fact, this past year, our Oakland Writing Project site decided to actually try the mini units ourselves. And so we have a team together. We did a little advanced institute. And we were really influenced to try this because we really wanted to understand what it was that made the mini units and the CRWP program so effective. The research came out, a little teaser of research came out in November, and right away we thought, okay, let's put something together to find out how this works. And I was able to actually coach this team of teachers as they tried the mini units and learned about the program. So in order to do that, we formed four common agreements, and they're not, the agreements aren't much different from the agreements that people who are doing the CRWP units are sharing across the United States. One, we decided to implement 3 to 4 writing cycles in small cross district groups. So we were always talking to people in other districts in slightly different contexts, so that we could understand the impact across lots of populations. We also agreed to try the mini units as is, and that's a kind of hard thing to say. It's easy to say, I'm going to do them as they are, and I'll change them later. But that was a hard goal, because we really wanted to learn what was effective about them, not how we could make them more effective. And we decided to identify high leverage strategies at work. And we, because we were doing them as is, we started to see that there were really significant strategies and even single lessons that had a big impact on student learning. And so then we started talking about those things that seemed to make the biggest difference. And, of course, just like our Google community, we were sharing questions and observations, student work and reflections. But I think one of the things that interesting questions start to emerge, and then people take them up. One question that emerged early was, what essential critical thinking do these lessons and tools actually develop? Because people were seeing that there were critical thinking skills that were emerging and students were actually using in a next unit. And they also asked, how do these strategies become habits across the year? Because they were becoming habits. Students automatically felt comfortable with loop writing or with annotating in a specific way. So then we also found new questions that started to emerge, which was, how important is focusing instruction? I think if we hadn't agreed to do the units as is, we wouldn't have realized that focused instruction with just a few key skills is like at the heart of CRWP. And the same thing is true, that sometimes a single lesson can make a significant shift in the way students think and read and write.
Wow, thank you so much. There's a lot there about, you know, what it takes. I really liked what you said about the best way to coaching to support teachers in the midst, which is really what a lesson study is about, is teachers, you know, working together and teaching and then getting support and reflecting. And that's something that we really tried to replicate here, is that whenever possible, we were hoping that teachers would actually be teaching the mini units sometime in the 2-week period so that they could get feedback and coaching and learning in the midst. So you have this, you know, really deep experience working with coaching and supporting teachers, Linda. So I wonder from what your perspective, is there anything that you noticed about the kind of collaboration that happened in our Google Plus community and, you know, any of the, like, peer-to-peer types of coaching that you saw?
Oh, well, I think Nikki and Lorreen and Amber have already, many of the things that really make a difference and enable community and collaboration. But in the Google community, even as in our site work, maybe a big challenge that people face is distance and isolation. Amber, I mentioned the idea of isolation, even in a big school, which is really a big reason why I was so intrigued with the Google community and its ability to actually mimic the in-the-midst way of being. The teachers actually were, I mean, I used to really enjoy getting on every day to find out who did what lesson and to see what they posted and to see the student work or whatever. And it was so, even though they're in a totally different state, there we were in the midst, actually completely not distant at all. And so teachers who posted frequently and daily, telling the stories of their instructions and images. And, Amber one day put a picture of every single whiteboard from every single hour because she did a whiteboard brainstorming activity. And it was so lovely to see how the students were different from hour to hour. And so making that commitment to be part of the community and to actually post and to respond to others. I mean, Nikki was helping Amber. Amber was helping Nikki. I mean, there there were people from all over the United States helping Nikki and Amber as well. So finding that sort of way of being to give each other resources. I mean, because people were offering opportunities that they found to publish in student op-eds. Nikki posted quite a few things on that so that students had a genuine experience. But I think maybe most importantly, as a result of a collaborative conversation in a community like this, it really encouraged and instigated critical thinking and risk-taking and focus on a study that might be less energetic if one was all by themselves. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of like having other people to say, oh, yeah, try that. Let me know how it goes. I mean, having that partner, right? So the great questions that emerged and the new thinking and reflection, I think that happened largely because other people were coaching each other and supporting each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, Linda spent a lot of time in the making the case in the op-ed mini unit site, and I was over in the ranking evidence one with Lorreen, and we saw much of the same things. And Lorreen was so great about posting pictures of her lessons as she was teaching them or the very same day. And then there were other people, like Lorreen mentioned earlier, who were taking pictures of their anchor charts and sharing them so that teachers could see, you know, across what are some of the things my students say in response and how can I support, you know, my students in getting to this place, or how can they think about the kinds of responses that came up. And so, you know, and Lorreen talked about that earlier too, so it's definitely happening in both places with the collaboration. So Nikki, I'm wondering if you will also talk about your role as a coach and supporter of teachers because of how you used this lesson study in your work as a program leader for the College Ready Writers program at your site. So what, you know, talk a little bit about this online space and the lesson study as a whole, and what kinds of things you did with your teachers and how it worked for you, you know, really supporting a group of teachers in your place.
Sure. Well, I'd have to say that one of the things that I have definitely learned over the course of my now 3 years of participation with the College Ready Writers program is that providing professional learning opportunities for teachers can really be tricky. And you know, those of us who have experience with professional development know that you know, things can go south, things can go really good, things can go really well, but it's hard, and it's hard to find that place. So a lot of those strategies that we just automatically enact in our classrooms, like inquiry and reflection and giving our students choice and valuing dialogue, that all of those things we need to remember are really important for adult learners too. So the lesson study was just a really wonderful way for us as a site to meet those needs. So I really feel like, you know, we're talking about, you know, plans for the future. I really feel like lesson study will definitely become a central element in the landscape of professional learning that we offer through our site. And it's especially useful when it comes to the mini units. So really wonderful complement to the mini units. So I wanted to talk about kind of a couple of reasons why we use the lesson studies, why we felt like they were useful, and then also just kind of logistically what that looked like. So if others wanted to do something like this, okay, you know, sounds great. So now what? So first thing was, and we've touched on this a little bit, but allowing the mini unit to function as a sort of mentor text. So, you know, those of us who are familiar with the writing project, we're familiar with demonstration lessons, and demonstration lessons are really wonderful. The lesson study is a really nice complement to that and an important complement to that because it really gives teachers a chance to kind of get their hands in something. So it takes it from that, I mean, and everybody knows, like, when you observe a lesson, your positioning is really different than when you are actually trying to teach that lesson yourself. And the conversation that you're going to have reflecting on that once you're finished is going to be a really different kind of conversation because, again, as Linda said and as everybody said, it's that in the midst mentality. So we're all doing this together. So using that mini unit as a mentor text, the great thing about the mini units is that they really are, they do a great job of articulating the moves that are being made. So sometimes when you do demonstration lessons, it's, you know, it's hard sometimes to pick out the structure of a lesson. But with the mini units, that's a little more visible. And we've had a lot of teachers who, oh gosh, so many people have said to me over the last couple of weeks, well, I'm just kind of doing that X unit, but with new stuff. And I think that's like where we want to go. So, hey, here's an example of what kinds of moves that you can make to put this together. And then ultimately, we hope that, you know, that teachers can fill that in with the content and in the places where they need them. So we did that through Google Plus. Definitely was a great collaborative space. And then also Google Drive. So, I mean, it seems simple, but building documents together and sharing documents and allowing teachers to work on those documents and making their own copies, that is just a really important part of the process. So again, they can get in there and kind of try those things out. Another really important thing that that the lesson study does, and this is kind of interesting, I think, is that it helps to ground conversations about vertical alignment in data. So another thing that I've noticed working with teachers over the last few years is that if you ask about goals for professional development, especially in writing, but I'd imagine beyond that as well, teachers will frequently say that vertical alignment is one of their goals. And we start with the obvious things, like what books are you going to teach? Let's make sure we're not teaching the same novel, you know, 3 years in a row or whatever. But then after that, it gets a little bit tricky because we're not really sure where students are. Sometimes they haven't even done a certain thing, maybe in the sixth grade, so we don't know how to pick that up in the seventh grade. So it just becomes tricky. So the lesson study is a really awesome way to actually have all of your teachers, sixth grade through 12th grade or whatever grade you're working in, teach the same lesson at different levels so that then we can look at that student work and actually see the moves that students can make. So the way that we did that in our site was we had teachers choose case study students to follow throughout the year. So every mini unit that we taught, it was a small number. They just selected 5 students, and they collected writing samples from those 5 students for every mini unit. And then we would organize those in order by grade. And then we could look at the ways that the students responded as they moved from grade to grade. And that was just fantastic data for us to have so that when we were having those conversations about vertical alignment, that we actually had something to talk about. We had something to look at. It was also just nice to be able to read those writing samples in teams and, you know, build community that way. So we're looking at those things, and it just sends a good message of, again, we're, like, all in this together, even just on our you know, school campus. The third thing that I would say and the last thing I would say is that I think, and again, we've all touched on this a little bit, but I think this is really one of the most important parts of lesson study is that it really democratizes the PD process. So again, it's that in the midst message. So it's wonderful that we can bring our teacher consultants in who can, you know, provide a demo lesson for participating teachers in the case of the College Ready Writers program. But we can also bring participating teachers to one another. So one of the things that I really enjoyed doing was just stepping into a teacher's classroom to cover their class while they went and taught a demo lesson in a co-teacher's classroom. Which, again, it's just amazing that teachers don't have that opportunity to even visit each other's classrooms. So to do that in a safe space and feel like a professional and be able to have that conversation together is just a really important piece of that, too. So really democratizing that process so that everybody feels like they're empowered creators and not just consumers of curriculum.
That is so great. Thank you. I really appreciate that explanation, Nikki, and so many of the things that you've said, and especially this idea of, you know, enabling teachers and being in this together. And I think this has come up, you know, we think about working locally with teachers like you have doing lesson study, and then also, you know, what Linda calls in the midst, and I've also heard Linda say before that, real, you know, collaboration and lesson study is about opening up your classroom for other people and being reflective. And what we saw is that this is a way, doing an online lesson study like this, is a way for people to open up their classrooms through reflections or videos or images of their classrooms. And so I just want to close by saying just some final things, some themes that I noticed across all of these stories. And that first is that, you know, all the teachers who are participating are thinking about challenging their students, and then you see students that rise to the occasion in the text that they're reading and the things that they write, in the conversations that they have, and in these complex skills that they're really grappling with. And then we have teachers who are really reflective and receptive and thoughtful and willing to open up their classrooms when they are in the midst of teaching and working together. And then the final thing that I hear across everything that you've all said is that this really was an experience that provided for authentic collaboration among teachers with a shared purpose. And that shared purpose is to support students in writing arguments and to find, you know, the most effective ways to provide them with that kind of instruction. So this is really great. I appreciate, thank you so much, Linda and Laureen and Amber and Nikki, for being here tonight and for sharing your stories. It was really awesome. So thank you so much, and have a great night.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Welcome to Metro PCS.
Hi, I heard you're giving free phones to everybody?
Yes, right now everybody gets a free phone. You and your friends, cousins, neighbors, roommates.
What if I'm already with Metro PCS?
Yeah, it's for existing customers, new customers, people named Willie, dog lovers.
That's awesome.
Everyone gets a free phone at Metro PCS. Come choose your select free phone from brands like Samsung and LG. Metro PCS, wireless figured out. Sales tax not included. Phones free after instant and mail-in rebates. Upgrade fee may apply. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.